This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you and good afternoon. Well, the Montgomery County Soil and Water Conservation District is still waiting for state funding, but recent talks with legislators in Springfield went well. Cord Louie, resource conservationist for the district, said the legislative day was held at the end of February, and other things are going well in the district as he just wrapped up his first year as Montgomery County RC.
They're going good. I just completed my first year at the resource conservationist position in February, so it was an eventful year, and I look forward to the years coming.
Sounds good. Glad things are going well. You had an event in February. This was actually statewide with all of the soil and water districts throughout Illinois. You all gathered in Springfield to talk with legislators.
That is correct. We had our legislative day, and it's just an effort, you know, that we sort of go to the Capitol building and we sort of rub elbows with the politicians and let them know where their money is going. I know in years past we've had funding issues, and so last year at our legislative day, the one thing that we heard statewide was from our politicians was that we don't really know what the districts do. So over the course of the past year, we spent a little bit of our own funds, you know, sort of trying to give something to the legislators. And that's what we did. We got that direction from our state association saying, hey, make, you know, a presentation or, you know, a handout and just say, hand that to your legislators and say, hey, this is what we did last year. You know, just sort of as a reiteration of the fact that, you know, we are doing things out here in the counties.
So how are things with the budget funding for your operations in the county? What were your conversations like?
So they were pretty positive. We really sort of felt like this year, you know, that we had an audience with the politicians and that they genuinely understood where we were coming from. As far as the budget issue itself goes, the soil and water districts were slated for $13.5 million, which is great. We really love the fact that we were slated for that, considering in the governor's budget we were zeroed out. That being said, of that $13.5 million, we've only received $2.2 million of it. And we've sort of been told by our state association not really to expect more than $5 million. So we're still holding out hope that we get that $13.5 million, but we are still waiting for another half of at least five or another $2.8 million. And that $2.8 million, that's, you know, our cost-sharing money. That's our ability to go to partners or whomever and say, hey, we want to help do this. Here's our money. Can you guys cost share on this program? And that's a big part of how the districts operate statewide is through, you know, working with partners in an effort to get conservation on the ground.
And to someone listening, 2.8 or whatever number you just said, $1 million, you hear million, that sounds like a lot of money, but that's not coming just to your county. That's dispersed through all the districts in the state.
Yes, that's correct. So that's actually through 97 soil and water district offices around the state. We have some states that farm their work out to other counties per agreements that they have. But, yeah, total, it works out to about $11,500 that we get just in our county, which is still more than we had last year. Last year, we had our cover crop program, and it was a huge success, and we'd love to do it again this year. But so that's where this $11,500 comes in, is that this is the money that we want to put on the ground. And it also helps out when we are talking to our politicians. We can say, hey, that money you gave us last year, it's gone, and this is where it went, and we can take pictures, and we have something tangible that we can, you know, sort of measure with our politicians.
Well, we hope that you get the funding you need and that that will help you offer programs to farmers in the county and then other districts throughout the state as well. I know it's an important part for conservation practices and educating farmers about things. So I guess we'll wait and see what happens. One thing that you are offering, I guess now you're taking orders. It's a program that you're able to offer because of the funding that you do receive from the state, your spring fish sale.
Yes, so the deadline for that is March 30th, and the pickup date will be around April 4th. As usual, we have a host of different fish. We have channel cats in various sizes, ranging from 4 to 6 inches, all the way up to around 8 to 10 inches. just sort of a side note, if you do get channel cat and you decide that you want the 8 to 10 inch range, you'll have to bring your own pond water and your own, typically we recommend like a tote or a plastic trash can, because the barbs on them are too big, and when we bag them, they will puncture the bag and there won't be any water in there. We also have a various, we have different sizes of largemouth bass, black crappie, bluegill, hybrid sunfish, minnows, and then we also do have grass carp. The minnows are mostly just for feed. If you have a smaller pond and you're sort of trying to establish a fish population in it, we do recommend minnows. And then we also do have grass carp. If you're sort of against a chemical routine, or maybe not against it, but just sort of maybe trying to steer away from a chemical routine in your pond, grass carp are a great option. And the grass carp that we have can't reproduce by themselves, so you don't need to worry about having a grass carp infestation in your ponds.
So it's not just about, I guess, wanting fish in your pond if you like to fish, but for the grass carp, that's kind of a maintenance thing. And you just said reduce the amount of chemicals you're using. It's a good practice, I guess. It's a good practice if you want to control the algae and stuff in your pond.
Exactly. I know we have a pond actually right here by behind WSMI, and in years past we put grass carp in that, and some of the years that the ponds look the cleanest is when we've had grass carp in there and have actually steered away from a chemical routine.
So I guess costs vary for all the different types of fish. If someone wants information, they can probably just have a conversation one-on-one with you guys at the office. Again, order deadlines and pick up and all that stuff they need to know for the fish sale.
So, again, the orders are due March 30th. There's a little bit of wiggle room here, but we'd like to have them as soon as possible. Just that way we can get our orders down to the fishery and make sure that we have the right number of fish on the truck when they come up here. And then the pickup date will be April 4th, and the truck arrives at 8 a.m.
And for order forms or more information, you can call the office at 217-532-3361, extension 3. And we'll be back with more ag news following these messages. The USDA Monday announced the formal process to withdraw the organic livestock and poultry practices final rule. Published January 19th last year, the last-minute Obama-era rule would have increased federal regulation of livestock and poultry for certified organic producers and handlers. The withdrawal becomes effective May 13th this year. Following review last year, USDA claims the rule exceeds the federal agency's statutory authority and that the changes to the existing organic regulations could have a negative effect on voluntary participation in the National Organic Program. USDA Marketing and Regulatory Program Undersecretary Greg Eyeball said in the announcement that existing organic livestock and poultry regulations are robust and effective. According to USDA reports for 2017, the number of certified organic operations increased domestically by 7% and globally by 11%. Industry estimates show that organic sales in the U.S. reached almost $47 billion in 2016, reflecting an increase of almost $3.7 billion since 2015. Well, attendance to the 2018 Commodity Classic in Anaheim, California topped 8,000 guests. Convention organizers say included in the preliminary number of 8,055 registered in Anaheim were a record number of non-exhibitor first-time attendees at over 1,500. More than 3,600 farmers from across the nation and beyond attended the event, along with more than 150 media representatives. The event featured more than 40 educational sessions along with a keynote address by Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue. Commodity Classic co-chair Paul Taylor of Illinois says organizers were very pleased with attendance. Established in 1996, Commodity Classic is presented by the American Soybean Association, the National Corn Growers, National Association of Wheat Growers, National Sorghum Producers, and the Association of Equipment Manufacturers. The 2019 Commodity Classic will take place February 28th to March 2nd in Orlando, Florida. Well, looking at upcoming events, the Central Illinois Livestock Association is hosting a meeting on Tuesday, March 20th. That's happening at 6:30 p.m. at Diana's Supper Club in Nokomis. Nominations for the Board of Directors and election of officers will be conducted. Interested individuals are requested to contact any board member or President Larry Miller. Larry can be reached at 217-710-1676, and they do ask that you RSVP by March 19th. Again, that's the Central Illinois Livestock Association meeting next week on March 20th at Diana's Supper Club in Nokomis. And that's all we have today for your WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Wilson.